Welcome back to Building Success with Ann Donnelly of Playcentric Digital Marketing. And, you know, we talked about the who and what the business, kind of the audience of the business. We talked in episode number one for those that are new about the digital marketing aspect of it. We got into all of the social media avenues, and now they have the digital marketing piece, they have the who, and now we're kind of getting into the what portion of kind of the next phase of being able to, you know, keep the business going.
Okay, so what, like who, is another aspect of identifying your target audience that you should probably do when you're starting your business and developing your products and your services. Because the what, to me, is what is the problem that you solve? What is the need that that audience has? So now you've got your target audience, you've got them pegged. Right? You've got your columns and your tool and your spreadsheet where you have listed all the information about each segment of your target audience. So now look at what problem do they have? So before you're looking at like, well, they're going to buy this from me, they're going to want to do this with me. What problem do they have? Because you're going to engage with them much more quickly and strongly if you're addressing and have a solution for a problem or a need that they have. So you need to start looking through that. So last time we used an example of a grocery store. So they have moms with young children. So the problem they have, right? So, okay, you have to buy groceries, right? But how do you differentiate yourself from another grocery store, right? So their problem might be, it's really hard to shop when you've got all these little kids that you're trying. I know I always had that problem when my kids were little. You couldn't get through a grocery store without some sort of trouble. So you might find having like late hours for moms. So like after their kids have gone to bed, or when they can have a babysitter, or when they have somebody else that can watch the kids, they can do it. Now most grocery stores have delivery services that are helpful for that. So in your message, you're talking about have trouble getting through the grocery store with your kids. You know, then they're like, yes, that's me. So for each of your segments, sketch out, like have another segment of your spreadsheet. And this is a tool that if you come to my website, I can provide this for you. I do have a download. And there is a webinar all about how to get in front of the right people that talks about these things. And so if you sign up for my mailing list to get access to that, you also get these tools, FYI. So you note down all of these different problems and needs, wants even, that they have. You know, so it could be like grocery stores keep moving around different sections, you know, so like sometimes all the gluten-free or organic stuff is in one place. Sometimes they have it kind of mixed up a bit, you know, so you used to be able to just go one place or, you know, so if people are like, but I'm looking for the healthiest foods. So, you know, that's another need that a mom's going to have or want, you know, I want the healthiest foods. Or I need a special kind of milk because, you know, we need the non-dairy stuff. You know, these days people have a lot of those kinds of needs. So different sorts of businesses, my own business, right? People have the want to have a very successful business, to be very influential people. So while I do digital marketing and build digital marketing strategies, I'm addressing the people's need to be influential, to have a successful business, to make the kind of money that they want to make. So those are the things you look at.
When you take a look at what, you know, the grocery stores that you mentioned kind of changing up the aisleways, and, you know, I don't like bringing it up, but it is true when, you know, when COVID hit, they did the one-way streets in the grocery store. And then, you know, you take a look at, you know, Hannaford and even, you know, a big corporation like Walmart, you know, they're always constantly changing. And honestly, it is when it comes to what the customer needs. And some of it's honestly what the wants are. You know, you take a look now at Hannaford, like they never used to have a video game section. And now they have a very small video game section. And, you know, you used to not be able to back in the day to be able to go to a Hanford or be able to go to a Rite Aid or something like that and buy that type of product. So there's obviously the want there now that, oh, I don't need to travel, you know, 22 minutes out of town. I can literally go in town and get what I need right off the rip. And they recognize that, too. And I think also kind of the advantage maybe for the grocery stores, you know, on Tuesdays, that's when our delivery truck comes. So we know that we're getting more fresher ingredients. And that's not necessarily something that, that gets advertised often. But, you know, if a worker comes in and says, well, you should shop here because maybe our groceries are delivered on Tuesdays.
Well, that could be a need also. I want the freshest foods. You know, so, you know, communicate that. If that is a need of a segment of your audience, then you communicate that. You know, like Villa Bread. Do you know Villa Bread?
Oh, yeah. Villa
Do
Bread.
Do you love Villa Bread?
Everybody loves
Villa Bread. Well, I follow Villa Bread. Now, Villa Bread, call me because you need some help with your marketing because you can. But, I mean, they're having no problem selling their bread. That's one thing. So I know, like, when I say you need to look at people's needs, right? But we're not getting paid for this, by the way. But I wouldn't mind a free loaf of Villa Bread. But so they have a Facebook group.
Everyone's got a Facebook group.
No, but that's all they have, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, like, they might have a page and
so they'll
that's
be
it.
Like, oh, sorry, like we had some issues getting out the bread, but we'll be in and we're going to be in these stores on this day. So people know. Got to go out and get your Villa Bread on those days.
But it works for them. They're obviously they're making money. You know, I think
we're talking about them.
Right. It all
because it's such a great product. Like, so if you have a product that is so great and sort of iconic, you might not have to do as much of this research. But imagine where Villa Bread could go. Like, if it was whoever owns Villa Bread. Right. If it was his mission to get even richer and do even better and sell more bread to more people, he would look at expanding it. But you look at your audience before you would do those sorts of things. But people have a need for fresh bread, fresh Villa Bread, because it is yummy. And I'm not supposed to eat that kind of bread. But, you know, I give in to that. So what other examples could we come up with the what? So like even trying to think what would be a good example, like golfers, you know, they want to, you know, better their game. Or there's the I forget the name of the business side.
Okay,
he's a member of the chamber, he's quite popular now, but he does virtual golf.
So
during the winter you can work on your golf game, bogeys. We're talking about bogeys, and I'm not overly promoting any of these people, they're just people I know and I've been there.
Businesses in the area that you've developed relationship with, which we talked about in the previous episode with the Who, you know, you take a look at kind of, you know, giving that want and getting that need, you know, and businesses realize, okay, you look at bogeys. Well, in the winter, at least in New York, nobody's golfing. And so, you know, Derek went and bought a couple simulators and there's that clientele that, you know, wouldn't necessarily see him in the winter. He's kind of having that niche of trying to keep, you know, the hopefully more than 7% of what his golfing, you know, population is in the summer. But then you take a look, for example, the local hockey team with the Adirondack Thunder. Mm-hmm. I mean, they also have to stay afloat when it comes to summer because no one's really thinking. I mean, unless you're a huge hardcore hockey fan, which there are in the Glens Falls area, you know, dating back to when the Red Wings were here. But unless you're a casual hockey fan, you're not really thinking about hockey in the summer. So then the Thunder have to kind of pivot and niche of what, okay, what are we going to do during the summer months? How are we going to, A, keep our audience engaged on social media, mm-hmm. B, be able to keep the lights on? And, you know, having the coalition, that's important there. But, you know, having events around the Cool and Sugar Arena, you know, it's a big thing for the Puppy Bowl to be, you know, taped there at the Cool and Sugar Arena. That's a big thing. And you want to talk about something that helped the kind of the Glens Falls area during COVID. I mean, that was one of them. I mean, they don't have a studio audience anymore. And it works for them. It's a smaller venue. And plus, too, the Cool and Sugar Arena has that tapeability. You have, you know, you got Godsmack that was at the Cool and Sugar Arena in October. just a couple weeks ago, you take a look at everything that they're doing and they're finding a way to figure out how to stay afloat and hopefully, you know, stay in the black per se when it comes to their profit and their profit margin. And any successful business owner knows, you know, what exactly my budget is, how much do I have to spend, what can I do to grow my audience without, you know, having, you know, debt on the line and, mm-hmm. and just having the extra stress of, you know, the business and your personal finances.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, they've revamped the Heritage Hall down in the basement so they could do smaller types of events down there. So they really are thinking about what is their audience. And one of the things I forgot to say in who, and this is something that's important also in what, is that you need to know that you are, when you're selling to an organization, that you're talking to the right person. Mm-hmm. So I should have mentioned that earlier in the who section.
But this is why you listen to other episodes in the podcast.
You don't want to miss all the good stuff. Because you might be dealing, like the person that goes to mixers, like say you're a chamber member like I am. So I'll use this as example a lot probably. But even if you're calling in because you want to know, like, who do I talk to about, you know, buying stuff? So certain things, they might send you to an HR person and they might vet your offer. So it might be someone that you do need a relationship with, but they may not be the decision maker. So who's the person that can say yes to you? So in this case, you've got to look at, I have to engage the entryway person and other people that might be involved in making this decision, but I really need to engage the decision maker. So again, look at what is their need, right? So the entryway person, they're what? Maybe I need to look good to my boss. So you need to help them in that way. But that's also, we're going to be talking about the why. That's another thing when you're looking at what is their big aspiration.
Is that next?
No, why is a little who, what, where, when,
why? Oh, that's true. I guess
it's because why is the real juicy part. Because I also talk about our own whys, which are important too, to keep us motivated. So spoiler alert.
Hint, stick around.
Yeah, so that's down the line a little, a couple of episodes down. But yeah, who, what, where.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. We've covered some of these things already, but it doesn't hurt to repeat some of these things too so that it really does sink in, right? How many times do you have to see something before it really sinks in? I've heard 3, I've heard 7, I've heard 2,000. And I agree more on the 2,000 because a lot of it just doesn't sink in at all.
Mm.
You know, so just get out there. That's part of the when also too. But back to the what. So what needs, wants, desires, problems do people have that you can solve? Really dig deep into that because that's where the golden message comes out. Where you really are going to engage with that person because they're going to be like, yeah, I need that. I've got to read that blog post. I've got to go to their website. I've got to talk to that person.
Do you think that the kind of, I want it now happens in different seasons per se? Like around Christmas time or around, you know, maybe New Year's, you know, resolutions or things like that.
Yeah.
Like,
do you think that's the when?
Yeah. Do you think that changes though, per se? Like, I want that now. Christmas is around the corner. I have to have this in time. But I feel like that also changes because sometimes you may say, I guess some people say, I need to have that by Saturday, but it's actually a want because you want it for the party or you want it for an experience. Or I feel like it also happens a lot when you're on getting ready to go on vacation. Well, yeah. I want to be able to have a chair. Well, do you want it or do you need, like, I guess
this ties into the who.
Okay.
Okay. Cause we're going to talk about when, and under when we're also going to talk about something very juicy that a lot of people don't think about is the buyer's journey. Do you know the stages of the buyer's journey, Seth?
Off the top of my head, no, but I feel like I should have known this because I did take a lot of financial classes and business classes in high school and in college.
So this is interesting having Seth and I working on this together because Seth's done the education and I haven't. I'm all just life experience and stuff I learned via Google.
And plus, so. Too, like, I mean, there's quite the age gap between us when it comes to, you know. So that
he
also.
He was pointing that out. No, I don't mean.
But it's true. There is a huge, there's a difference, you know. You're a baby boomer. I have no idea what I am. I don't know.
I don't even know what my kids are. I'm like, because I think I've asked them.
When were they born?
From 98 to 2003.
Okay, so I was 99.
So you're just younger than my oldest son.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
There it is. But I feel like that's important too, because then, like, we're able to kind of compare the, you know, it's kind of like you're giving me the experiences mm-hmm. that I don't know, and then I'm saying, well, what about this? And then this is where kind of the camaraderie of working together and having the gelness comes into play. But, you know, I guess when we'll kind of get back to the what. But, I mean, that's important. It's important to be able to have that. And then also, too, I just wanted to make a quick note. What you mentioned kind of going to HR and maybe they're not the right person to give the yes answer. When you go as a business owner, do you always say, well, I just want to meet with the yes men. I just want to get an answer right away. And, you know, when is it time to potentially give up kind of as a business owner when you're kind of saying, well, I haven't gotten, you know, the yeses I need. They keep jockeying me around. I emailed the HR lady. The HR lady sent me to the front desk. The front desk lady sent me to the marketing director and so on. I mean, it's a consistent chain.
You give up when you feel that it, you know, when you really know that it isn't going to work, it's not going to be a good fit, right? Because do you want to work with someone that's just bouncing you around? It's like the same thing with job applications.
Declient.
If somebody doesn't reply when you put in a job application, like, do you really want to work with them?
Not necessarily.
It depends on the market and lots of different factors. But, like, I know people get really frustrated. So when you're selling, too, and that's why it's important to know who the who is. Who is the yes person? Who is the person with the power? And you may need to get through a gatekeeper or two to get to that person. But you need to be confident, especially if you're a business owner. Right. You're a business owner. Like, you have the authority to speak to the yes person. Right. If they're making you feel that you're not, then maybe your message isn't strong enough and you're not confident enough going in. So that's another thing to think about as a business person, you know, and that's when you're growing as a business person, too. You might start off thinking like, oh, no, well, they said, no, I'm just going to go away. And it's like, but no, like, and also it's like, why are they saying no if they're not giving you a reason why that you can then say, oh, but, you know, you need to get in there strong. You need to get in there with the, I understand your problem.
The rebuttal.
Right? I understand your problem, because this is why we're doing the what, because you're going in there saying, you know, you're showing, I understand your problem and I have this solution. And this is why this solution is the best solution for you. You know, and if you're not getting the, like, they're just like, oh, no, like, you just can't get the appointment. Why can't you get the appointment? You know, and they may already have somebody doing that for them. And that happens to me a lot, because I'm not doing websites for people. I'm doing marketing strategies for people. So they're like, well, I already have someone that does my website. And they really love that person and they're really happy with that person. I'm not going to try to change their mind. And that's why, like, I feel with, like, other marketing companies, don't need to feel like I'm trying to get in on their territory, right? Because if someone's, you know, but if it's not working for them and if they're not happy, then please talk to me. You know, I think that's the way you should be. But if you're just not, if they're not answering your emails, if you're not able to get them to pick up the phone when you're calling, then you have to think about why could that be? You know, and if it's an ongoing issue, then it could be something you need to work on in your pitch. And we're going to talk about pitch at the end of all this, because once you've gotten all this information, then you got to work on your pitch.
You mentioned that you no longer do websites anymore. In the who part of the previous episode, you mentioned you worked on two websites. Did your who change, obviously, over time?
Oh,
and then do you just find that the marketing strategy is just a lot easier for you now than, you know, than it would be than working on a website? Or do you feel like you're just kind of like, you know what, it's working for me right now. It's kind of less stress on the mind, less stress on the body, and I can focus more on what my good niche is as a business owner.
I feel that my value is best in providing the big overall strategies for people because of my business experience and my years of experience. So when I was starting out, and this is when websites, you know, businesses, most businesses didn't have any websites. So you kind of had to do websites. And I'd be up all night working on websites. They take a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But also technology changes. So I think it's really important for people to, I wouldn't say always specialize, but work in the area that you can be the best at it. You know, whereas for me to do websites and to keep up on all the technology and all the best platforms, I think like I work with different people that can do that and keep really on it. And that's what they do really great. Like I am not a graphic designer. I have done some graphic design, especially for myself, because like I told Seth earlier, I'm not a great client for graphic designers because I used to be in printing and I do some of this myself. So I'm quite demanding. And he did a great job though. So I have to say, you'll see that soon. Stick with what you're the best at. And I think I'm best at the strategy. I'm at that level of my career and in my life that's what I like to do. And I'm really good at consulting and coaching people. Cause that's been one of my strengths along the way that people say, I understand it. I talked to this guy. I say guy because a lot of times it's a guy. And I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know if it's working for me. I've also had clients, or when I was doing the consulting for Northern Tourism Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. And this is more recent, early on in my career, I found I met a lot of people that were intimidated by their web developers and afraid to ask for certain things and afraid to ask why something wasn't done and things like that, or ask them to do changes for them.
That's still happening today,
well,
by the way.
I found that out when I was doing these website and digital marketing audits for Tourism Northern Ireland. There was one woman in particular that said, you know, because I was doing full audits, that they could then, and then come up with an action plan that they could then go to the supplier with or go to their web developer with. She goes, I know he's going to say that we don't need this. And she said that, and whenever I go to him, like he's always a problem. I just hate calling him. And I'm like, that's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That is so, so wrong. And you should mm-hmm. never have that kind of relationship with a supplier. And so I was shocked to see that, you know, 20 years later, you know, that's still going on in the industry. And there's a lot of, like, getting my car fixed. That's why I lease cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about going to a mechanic and hoping that he does the job right.
But that works best for you.
That works best for me.
Right.
Yeah, because I just don't have that kind of expertise. And I don't have anyone, friend, or I do have some people that I ask for some advice, but not to the extent that they could help guide me that, like, this guy's ripping me off or not. But so, you know, in this industry, and it's not as frequent as you'd think. It's frequent in that a lot of business owners don't understand the technical side of things and some of the whole marketing side of things either, and they're a bit intimidated by it. So that is a factor, but most providers are very good with their clients. So I'm not saying like this is like rampant in this industry, but it does happen. Especially with some people that may be a bit more old school, but also it's just the way that they run their business. They're not looking at helping their clients and being good partners. So they change their provider because like he wouldn't even talk to her. He'd only talk to her boss, like the owner of the company had to, like she was the marketing person. And he would only talk to the owner. She'd have to go to the owner and get him to ask the guy to do stuff. But it was me talking to her. So this is my skills, right? Beyond giving them the digital market and the technical information, the marketing information, I helped coach her into being able to go and speak to this person to get what she needed done at that time. And then I said, and then talk to your boss about finding somebody else to work with, because that's just not a good ongoing relationship at all.
No, and the relationships change over the course of time, and it's important to recognize that, and it's important too if you know you're in need of help of any kind to reach out and just be a lending hand. I feel like that's especially important, you know, today. You just never know what somebody could be going through in general, and I think that's like super important to realize and to recognize. And when it comes to you know having the business and the business practice, it all starts from the top and works the way down. I mean, you can't coach your work ethic. It comes from you and yeah. the people around you, and to see, you know, certain things. And it's just, you know, and mistakes happen, things happen, and it's important, you know, and I'll be completely honest, you know, I wasn't sure if we were supposed to start a recording session at what time it was, and then you came in and you said, you know, sorry that I'm late, and I said, no worries, no problem, it you mm-hmm. know, things can always be adjusted, and things happen, and it's important to have, you know, the open line of communication, and, you know, you have. And when it even came to, you know, designing the podcast logo, which the people have seen by now, you know, I gave you a couple examples, and when it comes to certain things and graphic design work, I honestly, I'll be completely honest, I never wanted to get into the graphic design, but in school I had to take, you know, an Adobe certification class, and I was like, well, I know everything else about Adobe. I know how to run Audition. I know how to run everything else. So I might as well just kind of learn this. And then it just kind of took a life of its own. But once again, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what works for me in this industry. Because I'm taking on everything at once, and yeah. that's my own doing. I you know, I do graphic work, I do audio, I do production, I do video, I do photos, I do articles, and there'll be a point in time where, you know, I get to be, you know, 42 and say, mm-hmm. all right, I'm only gonna focus on these three things.
Oh, yeah. Early in your career, you are going to try a bit of everything. And you might have to, because you might not have the money to hire someone to do different things. And I do recommend that to people early on in digital marketing. Like, I spoke to a BOCES class over in Johnstown, because I'm a member also of the Fulton Montgomery Regional Chamber.
You're all over.
I'm all over, yeah. I'm from Gloversville originally. So I thought that would be a good place. And I want to keep ties with that community. And it is hard to engage with them because they're further away. I don't go to as many of their events. But I did volunteer to go over because I love talking to young people. So these are high school age people that weren't on track to go to college, but they were looking at different career opportunities. It's a great program. I know they have one here for like Warren Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Warren Washington, Saratoga.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yep. BOCES. So this one's Fulton, Montgomery. I don't know if there's another county involved in that, but that's, you know. So there was a panel of different businesses. There was bankers, a couple of bankers. There was somebody that was doing sort of a finance thing mm-hmm. with boats and recreational vehicles and stuff. And so, and I knew the kids would kind of be interested in the digital marketing aspect of it, because they often think of like, I can create games and, you know, doing social media, and it's sort of a sexier than banking in a way.
We're also always sucked into it too. You know, we talked about it in the digital marketing. It is amazing. I never really thought that we'd be kind of overlapping a topic over a topic over a topic, mm-hmm. but here we are.
And, that's me.
And that's perfectly okay. It works. But like, I feel like someone, you know, they see digital media immediately and they think, oh, TikTok, Facebook, yeah. Instagram, Snapchat, all these things. And I'll be honest, I got exposed very, very young to the industry. Not sure if you actually knew this or not, but, you know, regional radio, I've been here ever since I was 12 years old.
I did not know that.
So this was my first ever job. Mm-hmm. So I went away to college, and, you know, mm-hmm. The career path changed. My career didn't change. You know, of course, you talk about making ends meet. Mm-hmm. I did work at a restaurant for a little bit, but still my main job was, you know, with the hockey team in Philadelphia. So, you know, when things happened, and obviously the world changed, COVID happened, and ended up ending me back at my childhood home. And, you know, and plus two, like, that's kind of what kind of landed me back here. And I love the community. I always love to give back. But it's just things, your who, your what, you know, your why. Everything will always evolve over time. And as I think it's important that that happens and you recognize that when it happens.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, like, you would do this kind of research and consideration and, like, where do you get this information from, you ask? Well, I did a survey to my mailing list a couple of weeks ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago? I offered, for incentive, I offered a $50 Amazon gift card. So I got a good number of people entering that, so it was good. But I asked them, it was maybe 5 or 6 questions where they just had to put like a 1 to 5, like, how much is this issue problematic for your business? So, you know, it's with time, money, finding skills in-house, finding skills to outsource, or I have no clue whatsoever. And then there was, I think I'm doing okay, but I want to scale up. So I did a survey. So you can do surveys. Use social media to get the word out. Use email marketing to get the word out. You can ask people as they come in the door. Because I think that's one thing. When I'm dealing with people, like, I work remotely, and I work with fewer customers. I don't have hundreds of people coming in into my workplace every day. So, you know, you're talking to people. You're relating to people. You keep this information and keep a place to jot down these things as they come up. When people email and ask you, you know, different things in emails, have different questions about what you do, keep all that information in mind, because those are always good things, because that's what's on their mind. They're asking that question. Mm-hmm. It's obvious, kind of, but business owners don't always take that into consideration. But other ways, look at stock people.
I was going to say, I was going to say, is there, you mentioned in the previous episode about grabbing somebody's LinkedIn picture and
yeah, it was
and
this
look,
episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it? No.
No, it was previous. So we were talking about that, and I was about to say, is there a version of kind of healthy stalking? Is there a way where
heavily believe in it. If anyone knows me, I think that they're putting the information out there. You're not doing anything harmful, obviously. But also you're going to think about, like, cause so that could just be one person, obviously. That's why I said, like, for each of your segments, you start with the person that is the best representative of that segment, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe work out a little bit, because you might think, like, oh, well, you know, maybe, like, because we talked about moms with young children, or maybe moms with teens have different needs, right?
And we talked about my age group with the beer and football.
And the wings, yep. And the pizza and all that stuff. So, and we were talking about how, like, we were talking about a grocery store kind of setting. So the little mom and pop shop on the corner, they're not going to have as much of the data. But the big brands, like we were saying, look at what big brands do, and you could follow their lead too. Because especially if they are kind of targeting the same people that you are, because they've got the data. I mean, I worked in grocery stores when I was starting out. And I'll confess, I did work at Hannaford Deli for a few months when I first moved back to the U.S. because I was getting back settled in and I didn't want a full-time job because I was getting my daughter back settled in. And I worked in the Hannaford Deli for a few months and because I went back to my roots, mm-hmm. right? But it was a job that was like down the road right. and different, you know, the hours suited my daughter's school time. And I was getting to meet people,
right.
too. But to look at where they place products, their hours that they're open,
and the place,
the music that they play. Because I was talking to somebody about that, too. Like, the music is carefully selected. And it's funny, because when I was young, there was Muzak. Have you heard of Muzak?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. And they may still use that word, but Muzak was instrumental, bland, and people always joked about elevator music, like Muzak, and that's what would be in the grocery stores. So when I was 17, working in, I don't even remember the name of it now, not Price Chopper, but something like that in Gloversville. You know, it was that kind of music, and we'd like make fun of it when we were working there at night, and we were a bunch of, you know, high school girls. And now as a 50-something, that I was working in the deli at Hannaford, they're playing my music. They're playing my jam.
Right.
And so I'm singing. In fact, there was something came up on Instagram, and it was like some crazy meme of like when the 80s music comes on at the grocery store, someone danced around. I'm like, yeah, that was me in the deli at Hannaford, because they always played all my great music. So
that still could be you.
That's a change.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's a change from when I have been out of the country for 20 years. It's interesting to see the differences.
And plus, product placement for grocery stores changes every week, maybe every day. Obviously, Sundays, you have, at this time of year, you have your plastic tins. You have things that you can make dip with, or something you can throw in the oven and not necessarily watch because you're watching other things like the football game. So those obviously change. And, you know, but once again, a successful company always adapts to the change. And, you know, we mentioned in the previous episode about grocery stores, you know, changing, you know, their layout or their format, and how people, you know, get angry and, well, they want to throw pitchforks right at the door because, you know, the berries went over to aisle 6 instead of they were in aisle 1 for 22 years. Why all of a sudden the change? I mean.
Well, and they also are looking at, and this is something you can think of even if you're not in a retail setting, that you know people want milk. So the milk is at the back of the store because you got to walk through the store to get to that milk. So because you may not be making a lot of money on milk, but if they're picking up other things along the way, that's going to add value to what you do. So that's more in the whole, you know, the getting into the design of your website and, you know, how to get people through your website and make a transaction. So that'll be something for another episode. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else to talk about with what, like we talked about retail, like with shops, we talked about whale watching, we talked about other sort of my business, but like even professional firms, they need to think about these things too, you know, because people know you need a lawyer for certain things, like if you're in legal trouble, you know, if you want to make a will, if you're starting up a business. So law firms and professional firms, accountants, like I did all the marketing for our accountancy firm. So you look at what are the needs that people have there, and you've got, you know, and you see the obvious niches in those types of scenarios. You know, so what's the need? I need to start up a business. I don't know what I need to do legally. You know, so that's a great, you know, so you use this information in your articles, in your emails, in your social media posts. And we'll talk about that more specifically when we get to after we've covered all the different areas of what your pitch is. And your pitch can be used on your website, in your emails, or even if you're just talking to somebody, because that's traditionally what a pitch is.
And your pitch is always at the end of each episode of.
Yeah, right? Wait for the pitch.
Wait for the pitch. It's important. So we have the what, and, you know, now we have we know what's next coming up for episode number 3, that is.
So who, what, where is next?
Where, not why.
Come back for the next episode that will be where. So, if you are interested in what you heard today and think that it might help you with your business and want to know how to find out more, go to playcentric.com. And while you're there, you can book an initial call with me. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you at least 3 ways that you can get more customers and increase sales to grow your business. And you might want to consider my new marketing strategy boot camp, which is a day-long session with me. So give me a day and we can transform your business. So don't forget, go to playcentric.com. And if you're not going to book a call, sign up for my mailing list and you'll find out when each podcast episode is coming out and get some other really helpful information.